Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
My name is Bill Cundiff.
What do you have for us, Bill?
Well, we have a sponsor this hour of Pape Machinery. Pape is our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer, and they are located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. They're right between Oasis and Pine Grove on Twin View Boulevard. Go up and see them if you're looking for a John Deere tractor, mower, whatever's green. They got it all in stock right now. It's going fast, though. The grass is growing, and it is getting busy up there. So if you're looking for a new mower, you better get them while they're there.
And don't dilly-dally.
No, don't dilly-dally, because they are flying out of there. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. Give them a call. See what they have on hand. Get some pricing. Or you can catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da! So today is 16th of April, 2023. Just in case we replay this at another time, and the information seems to be out of sync with what's going on. But not typically. When we chat with Dr. Chen, I think the information stays current for a very long time. But we have not visited with him since October, last October of 2022. It's been far, far too long. So just in case you have never heard him before, I've listed all the shows on the website at wethepeopleradio.us. Sponsorship comes from companies, individuals, and all sorts of people. So if you'd like to go to the site, you can find out how you can either you can put advertising on our site. You could be a silent advertiser. You could be an individual supporter. Lots of choices. And at the very, very least, share the programs. I finally figured out how to get the stupid Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that buttons on there. That was kind of more of a challenge than I wanted. But it's on there now, and you can share the programs any way you like. Feel free to do that. They're not copyrighted. So Dr. Shizong Chen has been active in projects concerning China for over 30 years. He's founded, co-founded, or been spokesperson for a number of organizations concerning China and has spoken extensively on issues related to China. He began his activism in 1989 when he helped to organize supporting activities during the 1989 Beijing student movement. Outraged by the June 4th massacre, Dr. Chen founded the Tiananmen Square Foundation and has served on the board of the Press Freedom Guardian and was elected as the vice president of the Independent Federation of Chinese Students and Scholars in the U.S. Upon learning the brutal persecution of the Falun Gong in China, he founded the Falun Gong Human Rights Working Group in 2001 and has since submitted over 100,000 cases of human rights abuses against Falun Gong practitioners to UN special reporters. He has also founded and is president of the Conscience Foundation, a nonprofit organization to publicize and remind people that the human conscience is the very essence of humanity. He has spoken extensively on human rights issues in China since 2001. He's frequented meetings at the UN Human Rights Commission in Geneva, now the Human Rights Council, spoken to the council, to special reporters, and at many forums to forward the cause of human rights. I want to skip to the end because this is kind of how we met him. We met him through another person who had come here from China and found that the experience in the U.S. wasn't what they thought it was going to be, you know, just based on the information they received as children in China. But he was born in China in 1962, and at age 15, he entered the gifted program at China University of Science and Technology, came to the U.S. in 1982 to study, and received his Ph.D. in molecular biology at the University of California, San Diego. So he currently owns and runs a molecular biology startup in San Diego. So just in case he didn't sound busy enough there, he's got that too. So I've kind of left the topic to him since we haven't talked to him for a long time. And I thought, oh, there's tons of stuff going on, I know. But Dr. Chen, how's the world treating you since we haven't seen you in a while?
Oh, yeah, it's been a long time. Thank you for having me back.
It was a whole winter. The whole winter. We missed the whole winter.
Yeah. But there are significant, very significant events that took place in China. And more than we can cover in 2 hours. But I'll just pick a few that's are close related. One is that it's not even an outbreak anymore. It's like a, you know, a deliberate opening a floodgate.
Oh.
In this case, the flood is the COVID-19. And so, there was one thing that we haven't talked about here, that is a different strategy of fighting the COVID. Right? Of course, COVID-19 really originated from China. Now, what we call CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, has been denying that, and they tried to shift the blame or the origin of the COVID-19 to the United States. I mean, among other unreasonable mm-hmm. things that the CCP does. But anyway, most places, not all, but many places in the world, at the beginning of the outbreak, most of the world took the approach of quarantine. But then that slowly, the pandemic spreads, more people get infected and have immunity. But a key event that took place, that is the Omicron variant of this virus. And this is a very peculiar variant. And then the scientists still do not have an explanation. This is usually we have something, you know, called the super bug or super virus. And that usually means that it's particularly contagious or devastating. And this Omicron is the opposite of that. And it's very curious. The infection rate, a probably easier to understand term is the speed of spread. It's like over 10 times, maybe even 100 times faster than most other variants. And most interestingly, it confers immunity to other strains. Now, immunity is something that, you know, our body has. The internal mechanism that human body have. Once we get exposed to certain bugs, and we develop immunity, and the natural immunity is one single most potent defense, you know, against all these microbials or viruses. If we don't have an immune system, then human world would be wiped out millions of years ago. But for this particular COVID-19, the vaccine strategy usually took advantage of the human immunity and give human some kind of a medication. It's not a medication, but some kind of a substance, right? So I'm trying to use a common term that so non-biologists can understand. So we give vaccine
that.
To you're right. It's right. So it doesn't have the harmful effect of a real bug, but it mimics the real bug. So our bodies then recognize the fake bug. And then when the real bug comes, then our body can react. Oh, I know you. Okay, so our body would mount a defense against the real bug. Right. Now, in the case of the COVID-19, all the vaccines doesn't work quite well. Right? Not all vaccine works. Right? Like, for example, the AIDS virus so far still effective vaccine has been developed so far. Right? And COVID-19 is such a case. You know, when that is why, you know, when different governments around the world forces the population to have a second, third, you know, multiple shot of vaccine, that means, you know, it's not really very effective. And that's why, you know, many people refuse to accept it. And it is important to know that the COVID-19 vaccines are also based on, at least in the United States and Germany and some other Western European countries, they are based on a technology that has not been properly tested. It's called the RNA vaccine. And now, that didn't prove to be useful. And what, you know, news media and government agents do not want us to know that this pandemic is under control, not because any kind of a human or government intervention. Rather, it's this freak mutation, what we call the Omicron. And that's why I call it, you know, super beneficial bug, right? Or vaccine. And I personally do believe that it is a divine intervention. So, you know, we humans will not be able to come up with that kind of a technology. It spread much faster than any detrimental variants. And when one is infected by the Omicron, it does have some very minor syndrome. It's not as vicious as all other variants. But the most curious thing is that once someone is infected by the Omicron, it confers that person immunity against all other vaccines. Sorry, all other variants. And this Omicron is one that really solved major problem of the pandemic. So what we call the community immunity, right, was the result of this benevolent Omicron variant. Right? So that is what's happening in most part of the world. Now in China though, because that regime, the Chinese regime has the capacity, have the best capacity, you know, or the most vicious capacity of crowd control. So it has used the quarantine strategy from, you know, beginning, from the very beginning. As I said, you know, most part of the world took that approach as well, quarantine. But the quarantine is so inhumane, so most countries, you know, basically gave up on that approach instead of then switch to the vaccine approach, and that wasn't as successful either. And then came along the Omicron that solved most of the problem now. This, however, didn't happen in China because the Chinese government locked down almost the whole country. Right? Wherever there's a single case of infection, then it locks down the whole city. There are many, you know, notorious lockdowns. There are more people died of the lockdown than from the virus. Right? And that the lockdown also depends on testing, nuclear testing, or PCR testing of the virus. Right? So by winter of last year, November, around November or December, right? The national health, you know, resources has been depleted, right? The government doesn't have, didn't have enough funds to do the testing anymore. And then so it, all of a sudden, made the decision to no longer do this testing and stop all quarantine. Now, not only that, it also did something that's completely against common sense. But really in China, it is anti-humanity, I would say.
Hold that thought, Dr. Chen. Yeah. Before we delve into that, I don't want to cut you off partway, but we have to take a really quick break. We'll be right back. You are listening to Dr. Shizong Chen. You're with We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
When they move into your neighborhood, they take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them? Turn on the radio. I need the music. Give me some more. Turn on the radio. I want to be the doctor. Give me some more. Turn on the radio. I want to be the doctor. Give me some more.
I play the song about the radio on the radio. What the heck? All right. So, sorry, I didn't mean to catch you right mid thought, Dr. Chen.
Oh no, thank you. It's you know, we have to lay the background of this so we can properly understand what is going on, what has been going on, actually. This pandemic, or what we call COVID-19, is, if we look back, we can already look back now, but if imagine we look back 10 years from now, look back, we'll understand more fully that this is one single event that really sync or connect the whole world together on the large scheme of things. So let me go back to China. So different from the rest of the part of the world, the CCP took a drastic or vicious measure because it just because it can, right? The crowd control, lock everybody, no matter how large that city is. I mean, Shanghai, Beijing, these are, you know, tens of millions of people in a city, right? And so it doesn't matter how large that city is, you know, they just lock it up, right? And this happened throughout the process. The COVID-19 started to appear in China in September, right, of 2019. Right? So in the past 3 years, three plus years, the CCP has subjected all China to that kind of a draconian measure. It's also a very inhumane measure, but also a very expensive measure, right? Just because it can. Right? And then last year, November, it can no longer afford it. Right? Basically, it's depleted its resources. And without properly prepared the whole country to, it all of a sudden decided, okay, we're no longer doing anything. You know, they're not going to do, they no longer do anything. Then, so without any preparation for its hospitals, its social services, its medication supply, without any permission. It all of a sudden decided, okay, we're opening up this floodgate. Now, because of the lockdown, the whole population has, you know, minimum exposure to the virus. And the CCP think that was a success at the beginning, before they opened up the gate, okay, the floodgate, they claim that is a success. And actually, they proudly, right, say that the whole world is copying its approach. By the way, quarantine is not, it's not at all a invention by the CCP. I mean, back in the Middle Ages, you know, European, knew about quarantine. It was, at that time, quarantine is the only effective approach. Now, the CCP, not knowing, you know, being so narrow-minded, not knowing human history, treated as its own invention, and then said the whole world is copying its work. Anyway, now all of a sudden it stopped copying its own work, homework, and then or in invention, and it's all of a sudden say, okay, I'm no longer doing anything. You can imagine, right? Without any, with minimum, previous exposure, or very little previous exposure, the benefit of the Omicron did not happen in China. The Omicron, because the other country opened the society up long ago. And so that gave Omicron the time to do its positive thing, to confer immunity to large population of the world, and that's why that the World Cup can happen, right? And there's such a large gathering in the World Cup, soccer World Cup, and there's no outbreak of pandemic. Right? But in China, the government's lockdown did not give the population the opportunity to expose to the Omicron. And so now the other, vicious variants then spread in China. And with minimum preparation, right? And this flood, then you can imagine, right? It's worse than it's worse than the government didn't do anything from the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. If the government didn't do anything since the first day of the pandemic, the result would not be as devastating. So even though the CCP claimed to be doing something, right, to contain the pandemic or the virus, in the end, once it's opened up the floodgate, it does so much more damage than not doing anything. So this is a tragic. And this has been borne out true throughout the history of the CCP, that the things that CCP does tend to be worse than not doing anything.
It's like, stop helping me. They might have been the origin of, I'm here from the government and I'm here to help.
Yeah. So anyway, so this, as you can imagine, is devastating. And so by January, the founder of Falun Gong, Mr. Li Hongzhi, issued a statement, basically, right, telling Chinese people, right, but also telling the world, that 400 million people have died as a result of this pandemic. And the CCP has been covering it. And then Mr. Lee also disclosed that in 2003, the SARS was really COVID-19 1, okay, or COVID-19 and SARS 2. Basically, those two pandemics are closely related. The viruses are even closely related. So in the original version of COVID-19 or the first version of SARS, Ms. Lee also disclosed that 200 million people was killed. Right? But at that time, the CCP took the approach of covering everything up, and it didn't allow its officials, local officials, to even collect statistics of the infection. So the government itself didn't know what was the damage, what was the death toll of the SARS. At that time, it was Jiang Zemin, right? This is a notorious name that the humanity, the world should know. Right? Jiang Zemin was the head of the CCP at that time. He was the one that made a decision that prohibit its officials from collecting any data on COVID-19. Many, many years later, right, when the Chinese government realized that there's a loss of population, there's a decrease, reduction of population, if 200 million is a large number. Right? And that was when the government then decided to lift the population control, the notorious one-child policy. Right? Then that is when they terminated that policy. Right now, fast forward to 2023, 400 million people died as a result of pandemic. And for some reason, this is not properly disclosed. And of course, the CCP covers up. But the rest of the world did not really pick up on that information either. So that was then, right? So and then soon after that, Jiang Zemin, right? That's why I say we should remember that name. Jiang Zemin was the evil person who launched the persecution of Falun Gong. He died. Early 2023. So early on, many years ago, when I wrote many things on the persecution of Falun Gong, I also wrote many things helping Falun Gong practitioners in China as dear letter to the government. Many years ago, I claimed that Jiang Zemin will not be able to outlive Falun Gong, right? So he was the one that, when he launched a persecution of Falun Gong, he arrogantly say, we're going to eliminate Falun Gong every month. He never was able to do that, not even come close. And so many years ago, I declared that he'll not be able to outlive Falun Gong. And so this turned out to be, right? Turned out to be the case, right? Okay, so then this would draw us to one of the more important topic that we're going to discuss today. And, Mr. Li Hongzhi, the founder of Falun Gong, then published a writing on January, right? How humankind came to be. So in January, so that was soon, just a few days after he disclosed that 400 million people had been killed in China. Now, 400 million people. That is a That's a huge amount.
You kill 400 million people in this country, and you'd have to borrow them from somewhere else. I don't even think if we include illegal aliens, we've got that many people. Maybe we do now.
So that is, more than a quarter, close to a third of China's population.
God.
And that has many devastating consequences that we can elaborate on, later in the program. But basically, in response to that dramatic event, Mr. Li Hongzhi published a writing titled "Why There Is the Mankind," and according to this his writing, it was as a result of this devastating COVID-19 that gods and Buddhas asked Mr. Li Hongzhi to tell human beings in the world a few words. Right? So basically he's saying that he's forwarding the messages from gods and Buddhas. Because gods and Buddhas are in higher places, they're not visible by human, but their messages forwarded by Mr. Li, and then Mr. Li claimed that every word in his writing revealed heavenly secret. Right? And basically, this article explained to the human world why there's a humankind. And this, to me, unites the messages that have been presented or forwarded to human beings through various religion or orthodox spiritual practices, right? Like Christian, like Buddhism, like Taoism, Judaism, all that. So this unites all of them. And in this program, we also have discussed, what really is what is one thing that is common to all spiritual practices? We human world have been filled with religious wars, different religion branches fought each other. So there are plenty of differences, but there's also something in common. And I have thought this issue for a long time, and I have concluded to the following, that what we say, what we human, say as a faith or as a belief, whatever word we use, right, what we really believe in via different kinds of religion, right, really is an existence of higher existence. That is, above human, there are another existence that we human beings do not really know. But we know that, we know its existence, how the actual form or what it's like, we don't know. But we believe there's this higher, better existence. And so that's number one. Number two, following higher beings' guidance, we human beings can ascend to there as well. So this is common to all religion, all cultivation, all spiritual practices. Right? Without those two, it wouldn't qualify as a orthodox teaching or spiritual practice. And this is common.
The one thing with Falun Gong, Dr. Chen, we have to take a really quick break. Yeah. But when we come back, it's interesting because we very rarely hear about it. And one thing about the persecution in China, we hear about the Uyghurs all the time. But the Falun Gong really predate that and are still being persecuted, and yet you really don't hear about that. And I'm curious your take on why that is. I've kind of an idea, but you'd be the expert on that. We're going to come right back. You are listening to We the People, and you can find everything about our shows at wethepeopleradio.us.
Pretty frightening, but you know the chances are so small. Stuck by a bee sting, nothing but a bee thing. Better chance you're gonna buy it at the mall. But it's a 23 or 4 to 1 that you can fall in love by the end of this song. So get up, tell the bookie to bet I'm not a damn thing will go wrong. The odds are that we will probably be alright. Odds are we gonna be alright. Odds are we gonna be alright tonight. The odds are that we will probably be alright. Odds are we gonna be alright. Odds are we gonna be alright for another night.
I hope so.
The odds are. gotta play the odds.
What are those odds?
It is all about the odds. But you know, honestly, you know, you meet people all the time with all the stuff that's going on, and it's like they get so far down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, but I'm amazed at how many people have not got a clue of what's going on.
Well, then there's
it's like,
that.
Oh, I don't really follow the news that much. And I was like, what are you doing with your life?
They're probably happy. That song makes perfect sense to them.
Yeah.
I played it for the other people.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Chen, talk to us about why Falun Gong is something. Like, I remember when we first started talking to you back in, I don't know if we were talking, I think we met you a little bit later, but like back in 2018, when our guests used to, our Chinese guests used to speak about the CCP, we had to keep reminding them to say Chinese Communist Party because no one knew what that meant. Now the number of people who don't know what that means is kind of non-existent. But Falun Gong is still not something that has entered the lexicon, although people have learned about the human rights persecution. So why do they only hear about the Uyghurs?
That is one of the most important questions.
Huh.
And this is part of the grand scheme of things. And I hope we will have, you know, I hope we can discuss this topic for many shows, because it really warrants that many shows. Right?
Yeah.
So let me give a short answer to that. That there are higher beings arranged for that, to cover up for that. And this is part of what this writing, the founder of Falun Gong's writing, the title is "Why There's It Mankind," is about, right? Part of it is about, right? The short answer for that, why there's a human, why there's a mankind, one of the answers to that is mankind exists to save the whole cosmos. Right? Humankind was created as a way for the whole cosmos to save itself, because the cosmos just like a human being, go through, you know, we human beings go through birth, you know, age and death, right? This is an endless cycle, right? And, it, you know, we all go through that. The cosmos has a similar cycle. And the cycle is formation. So when the cosmos was first formed, stasis or stability, right? So when it was first formed, it's like the best condition, just like when a healthy baby is born, it was the most vibrant. And then it'll go through his youth, growing, and then to adulthood. And then from then on, it starts to go downhill. Right? It'll get, you know, old age, eventually die. Right? So the cosmos, the God goes through that kind of process as well, according to this writing. Just that their process is so much longer. But now that has come to that end as well. And so the whole cosmos is facing that problem. And then to solve that problem, the creator, in their writings, the creator, but it also refers to Ms. Li Hongzhi. Then created what's called the three realm, right? The earth and human is at the lowest realm of that three realm. And it was created as a place for humankind to exist. Humankind did not exist before then. Right? And many benevolent gods who saw the problem of the cosmos, the end problem. They came following the Creator to the Earth to atone for the sins, for all the karma that has been created throughout this long process, and also to cultivate themselves so they can go back to save this the cosmos from destruction. And they do this through obtaining what we call obtaining the Fa. The Fa is the principle, it's the mechanism, it's the creation of everything. And so they came here to atone for the karma and to reform themselves to according to the Father that created everything. So basically, through cultivation, they make themselves to have the ability to save the cosmos from the end destruction. And so that's why in this writing, that Ms. Li Hongzhi said, human being exists to, I'm paraphrasing, right? The human being, the reason that there's a human being is because, there are higher gods who came down to the human world to save the whole cosmos. That was, I'm paraphrasing. Right? That was the reason. So, now, then,
of course, the government wouldn't want anybody to be learning, reading, or believing anything like that, because that kind of flies in the face of their...
No. So, now, just like a human being, they're a good person, they're a bad person, right? At the higher realm, at every realm, there are good beings and bad beings. At the realm of gods, they're gods. But they're also Satan. We know that, Satan, the archangel,
mm-hmm.
They're the opposite of good of the good gods. So at every level, they're this kind of an opposite force. Right? The specter of communism is actually higher. In terms of the realm, it's higher than Satan. Right? So when you say, the communism do not want people to know about that, that's very much true. Not only communism, the specter, do not want people to know about God, they also prohibit people to know the existence of Satan. And so that is why communism is worse. It's more vicious. It's more evil than Satan. We know Satan being evil, but communism outranks Satan in terms of evilness. So
that's not a selling feature.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing that that there are people in this country that think it would be fine. We could just do it differently and it would be better.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Communism right now is spread all over the world. I mean, we couldn't even say that Satan has spread the whole world, but we can safely say communism spread out through the whole world. And when Falun Gong then start to spread in China, it of course first offend communism, right? Because communism is, you know, out to destroy the whole world, including the whole cosmos. Right? Yet Falun Gong then aim to do the opposite, to save the whole world. So there, the righteous and the evil had their first fight. Right? So communism, the Chinese Communist Party launched the persecution against Falun Gong. And in my previous, I think you, Aaron, you posted on Read Radio that an earlier writing that I wrote, Falun Gong, Last Stand, The Last Stand of Humanity, right? Falun Gong, The Last Deed. And there, I characterized the persecution of Falun Gong as the ultimate, evil, the ultimate crime of the most evil of all crime. And that is a crime against conscience. Okay? And conscience is something that, you know, underlines all, as I said, you know, underlines all the orthodox teachings. Even though different orthodox teachings, at times they fought against each other. Right? You know, religious war. Even among the same religion, like the Catholics, and the Puritans, they fought at one time, right? So even within the same religion, there were religious fighting. Right? But nonetheless, those are all aimed to help people to cultivate, to be a better person. Only that they thought, well, my way is better than yours. And that was why there's a religious war, right? My way is more righteous, more orthodox than yours, right? Now, communism, on the other hand, is a system that forbades all religion, all orthodox teaching. It doesn't matter whether a thousand Buddhism, Christian, right? So it suppress all orthodox teaching. And so, when communism persecuted Falun Gong, and there are many governments who unwittingly assisted communism to that end, they unwittingly assist them a evil that suppresses all religion, including their own religion, right? So, for example, our government, the government of the United States, in a way, for a long time was acquiescent about the persecution of Falun Gong. And in fact, still, largely remains silent about that persecution. It didn't realize that it also is helping a regime that actually persecutes Christians.
We're going to get clipped by the news. I wasn't paying attention. Dr. Chen, we'll be right back with you after the news. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at We the People Radio and Bill's Not Paying Attention .us. Second half of We the People Radio. It's April 16th, 2023. My name is Aaron Ryan.
Hello, Aaron. My name is Bill.
I was trying
Bill
to
Kunda.
Like make it sound exciting. Could you punch it up, make it sound exciting? Do it.
Yeah.
Talk really fast.
No, I can't talk really fast.
Oh, okay.
I get my tongue all tied. Hey, we have a sponsor this hour. It's Pape Machinery. Yep, and they are our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer.
No, you don't say.
If you're looking for John Deere products, go up and see them. They've got mowers. They've got riders, Z-turns. They've got push mowers. They got
it's a Z-turn. Is that when you squiggle when you mow?
Yeah.
Back and forth, back and forth?
Yeah, yeah.
I like to do it like that.
Yeah, serpentine, I think they call it. Yeah, so go up and see them. They've got compact tractors. They got some great deals right now, and they'll make you a good deal on a new piece of equipment. Full parts and service. If you buy it from them, they're going to fix it if something goes wrong, which is a big plus. A lot of the other outfits that sell their stuff don't actually work on it.
Yeah, so, bad news bears. You buy it from somewhere else,
bears.
You get a great deal. You didn't get a great deal.
Yeah, you want to ask that question. You know, if it breaks, are you going to fix it? So anyway, go up and see them. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. Or you can give them a call, 530-226-9226. Or catch them on the web at
PapeMachinery.com.
There you go.
I did the whole thing that way.
Yeah, you're just about ready.
I forgot free advertisement of the week.
You did. I was gonna remind you of that, but
how quickly my mind goes.
So who do we have, Aaron?
Okay, so the other day I was on my way to the town of Burney, which would take me up a long, winding, you know, out of the way road, and the car was making a funny, like, high-pitched squealing. It kind of sounded like I had a little bit of a garbage can that I was dragging potentially under the car. Just a little bit. And I was headed to A1 Smog.
Just a little can, like a little mouse garbage can.
Like a little mouse garbage can, yes.
Yeah.
And so I was headed to A1 Smog and Repair Center for a smog thing on North Market Street.
Yes, a smog certificate.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they would be at 513 North Market Street in Redding, California.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was headed there. I'd never been there before.
No.
But you said they were good, so
they
I
were
thought,
good.
I'll go
they
there.
They took care of me once before, and I was very pleased.
So I pulled in, and I said, hey, can you do a smog thing? And they said, well, we usually stop at 4. It was 10 after 4. And they said, nah, we'll do it anyway. I said, oh, thank you.
Did you tell them I sent you? Is that why they did that?
No, I left that out just in case that didn't go as well as you thought.
Okay, yeah. Probably would have had to wait till
just
Monday.
Just in case they were playing along. So anyway, I told the guy that brought, you know, that was going to move the car, and I said, hey, he's making a real small kind of a funny noise.
Little mouse garbage can sound.
Yeah. Yeah, he gets in the car, drives 3 inches, and it was like a dumpster caught under there that was
it was
so loud that all the technicians came running out of the shop to see it. It was not good.
Make it stop.
Mm-hmm. And so anyway, they took it all apart and they figured out there was a rock, obviously, in the brakes. But if I would have driven to Burney, I would have gotten part of the way there and, you know, eaten up the rotor and would have cost a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
And I would have gotten stuck on the side of the road. So A1 Smog and Repair Center, I'll give you the number, and you didn't have to have an appointment either.
No, you just go
you
in.
You show up after 4 when they're closed and when they feel sorry for you.
Yeah, it never takes long.
Get there before 4.
Yeah.
But the phone number is 530-242-0100, and they're at 513 North Market Street, right at the bottom of the hill there on the Miracle Mile. And they were very, very nice, very
they're kind
helpful.
Kind of across from.
And I don't want to spoiler alert it, but they didn't charge me for taking the rock out of the brakes, so.
Did they keep the rock, or did they give you the rock?
They gave me the rock.
Whoa.
I know.
Wow, souvenir.
I threw it away so it didn't accidentally jump back to the brakes. But they were super, super nice and worthy of compliments on the air. So A1 Smog.
You could have held that rock up and said, you see this rock? You get that caught in your rotor, it's going to sound just like a little mouse garbage can squealing.
Until it turns into the dumpster that you're dragging under the car. you cannot believe how loud it was. It was so funny. Yeah.
Yeah. So they took care of you.
It was a wake the dead squeal. So anyway, there you have it. It's always good when people, there's still people out there who know how to fix things, and they're nice, you know? Just when you think all the service is gone from the world, it isn't. It isn't. It's out there. You just got to support it.
Yeah.
All right. Back to our guest, Dr. Chen, that has nothing to do with rocks being dragged, like garbage cans being dragged under your car. Totally different topic. We're going to shift back to China. That was a power segue there, right?
That was quite a segue.
It was probably a little too, it wasn't very subtle. But I'm not known for that. So, Dr. Chen, where would you like to take us this hour since we kind of cut you off at the pass there at the end of the last hour?
Oh, we'll just continue.
He's like, oh, are they done screwing around? Yeah. Oh, the screwing around has ended. Ding. Back to you.
We just lost him.
Oh, no.
Was it the ding? Was that what did it?
That's what the pop was. I'll give him a call.
Well, let's see. I was looking in the little thing in my little handbag here in case I had any other free advertisement of the week, but this is the number for a credit card, so I don't think I'll read that over the air. Probably not a good move. So, Bill, how's your week? Oh, we had the GOP dinner on Friday night. That was snazzy.
That was a good dinner. Had a great turnout.
Yep.
Yep. And they gave away some guns, had some great speakers.
Yep.
Yep. A lot of local dignitaries were there.
Darn. You know what I should have done? All right, I'll do it for next week.
Yeah?
Because our congressman quizzed some supposed to be experts.
My theory?
Yes?
Is his phone died.
Oh.
Because it's going straight to voicemail.
Oh.
So hopefully we'll hear back from him. But
let's hope he's not just talking right now thinking he's on the air.
Shoot, how can I do it? Because the audio was good. The video was good, though. I'll put it up on the web. Okay, so Congressman LaMalfa was quizzing some people about all their climate change policy and all their crazy, green, blah, 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 and electric cars and yada, yada, yada. So he asked them how much of the atmosphere was made of
CO2.
Of the atmosphere is made up of CO2. And interestingly enough, none of them knew.
None of them were even close.
No, they weren't actually close.
I give them mediocre marks for trying, for coming up with an answer at least.
Yeah, they want to change how the whole country does everything.
Yeah, they want to restrict all our cars and so that we're not producing any CO2, and because that's really what's killing our atmosphere.
Well, and the one lady pointed out 49% of the CO2 is caused by transportation or whatever, and he's like, great. So how much of the atmosphere do you think it is? And she said, I think she was the one who said 8%.
Yeah, she said 8%.
Yeah,
8%.
So the real answer is 0.04.
Yeah.
0.04.
Yeah.
So they're doing all this regulation, and they weren't even close.
Well, all this regulation for something that's seriously not an issue.
A nothing burger.
Yeah.
So that was kind of fun, but that's way up into the million.
Well, I think he said,
he
was saying that at 0.02%, plant life starts to die. So, I mean, contrary to popular belief, plants like CO2, and the more CO2 there is in the atmosphere, the greener the planet gets, which, I don't know, I live in Reading in the summertime. I'd kind of enjoy a little more green, but 0.04 right now.
I am sending this to Liam so that he can play it while we're hanging out waiting for Dr. Chen and his phone situation. There.
I'm pulling it up.
All right. I'm going to put it on the site too, because the visual on these people was hilarious.
Yeah, it's always nice when you're the claimed expert in a field and a simple question absolutely stumps the panel. So
they thought he wasn't going to press them. That was the funny part. You could tell by the look on their faces, they thought if they just sort of
showed up,
danced around it, he would move on to something else. And it was like, yeah, he wasn't moving on.
Yeah. The lesson there is when you show up before Congress to answer questions, you should probably do a little bit of homework and be prepared for the subject matter.
Yeah, the guy quizzing you might be kind of might be one of those people.
Yeah.
Oh, Liam's got it.
Chairman, panelists, let me just go right down the line real fast. What percent of our atmosphere is CO2? Take your best guess. You don't have to be accurate. All down the line.
Repeat that question.
What percent of our atmosphere is CO2, carbon dioxide? Wild guess. It's okay.
I'll buy 5%.
Right.
I'll just follow you then.
We'll
get
seven. That's my favorite number.
I'll see there five and suggest that we know that transportation causes 49% of CO2, so that's why we're all working on energy transition. Yeah.
All right. So what number do you think it is?
Five.
Five? How about you? I didn't hear you, Mr. Dreher.
Seven.
Did you have one, Mr. Boyd?
So we got a 5-7.
Price is Right.
Eight. I'm going to hit the high end.
All right. Well, I appreciate that, and I don't mean to put you on ice. I ask a lot of people that because all we hear is climate change, CO2. I heard a couple of you on the panel saying you're looking to change your vehicles to electric, even though we don't have the electric grid. And me as a farmer, I wouldn't be real happy about running out and replacing $300,000, $500,000, million pieces of equipment because someone wants it to be electric. The answer is 0.04%. Not 1%, not a half of a percent. It's 0.04%. And it's gone up from 0.03 over the last couple decades. This is what we're being all contorted into doing is this tiny change in CO2. If we get below 0.02, plant life starts dying off. So let me ask Mr. Boyd, are a lot of your vehicles Tier 4 already? Or the vehicles that you know about in the industry?
Yes.
All right. So that's the cleanest burning diesel equipment you can get, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. How about Mr. Dreher? What do you think?
Yes.
Okay. So why would anybody be anxious to go out and change out all those vehicles that you've been upgrading? In my home state of California, CARB has eliminated lots of equipment. Trucks, you know, we're down at least 70,000 truckers, and all because they don't make a mandate for a 2011 a newer vehicle. And so it's going to be harder to get things from the ports, all that. So anyway, I just wanted to underline that as we all get all giddy about trying to make everything electric, especially in my home state when they're shutting down the power grid and taking out hydroelectric dams. And they barely kept in place the nuclear power plant for an additional 5 years, which is 9% of our grid. I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't know how you guys are going to do construction out in remote areas where there isn't power lines yet nearby or what have you. In order to charge this stuff, maybe you'll bring generators. So, anyway, thank you for letting me rant on that a little bit. Mr. Boyd, what are some of the challenges of trying to get permits to get stone, sand, and gravel available, especially like in places like California where just a few years ago, and I don't know what's current now, but in order to get these products into the Bay Area, they gave up getting it locally. They barged it in from British Columbia and stuff like that.
Yeah, man, I think that goes back to what we talked about a while ago on Buy America. Using your district as a great example, if these exclusions are not made on the construction materials end, I don't know how your district's going to get any projects done. Just due to the permitting issues that you currently have, you have no other option but to bring it in outside of America.
From somewhere else, a long ways away, a lot longer transportation, right?
No question.
Yeah. Mr. Dreher, when we were talking about the Infrastructure Act here, where there was attempts in this committee, attempts in Congress to make it not what it ended up being, at least on the highway section, but get rid of the ability to add highway capacity, downgrading projects, and instead Secretary Buttigieg put in performance measurements to reduce CO2 and greenhouse gas from highway transportation. These are holding up projects. So this was supposed to be in the so-called Infrastructure Act, that the president and Democrats pretty much did on their own in the last session that House Republicans didn't have a lot of opportunity to help shape. So the intent of Congress ended up being, by the time it got through the House and the Senate, to do a bill that would be a little more broad in transportation projects. So give me your interpretation of what we ended up with if we can't add lanes and we can't do the things that are actually going to upgrade infrastructure. You're going to have to go fast. Sorry.
I don't have any information on that question.
That's pretty
no
fast.
Info. Okay. Well, buying again, like in my home state, they'll put out a new gas tax, for example, put that in place. And then by the time it gets passed, the voters have agreed to it. They pull the rug out from under them and ends up going for bike paths, buying land and things like that. And it can't go for lane capacity expansion for infrastructure. They can barely keep the focus on fixing infrastructure we have or certainly adding to it, like what real people want. So instead we get high-speed rail, which is half of it's underwater in the Central Valley right now. Thank you, Ms. Chairman. I'll yield back.
Good times.
Yeah, really good times.
Can't go wrong with that.
Well, you know, he was talking about the electric grid. We recently...
You're out, Bill.
Over the...
Time's up.
No.
Hey, yeah.
I just want to mention...
Too late.
That during the Easter weekend, we took a trip down south and stopped at a rest area, and there was one charging system.
Yeah. Helpful.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
When you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much.
So getting back to my point.
As you were saying.
Yeah, as I was saying, we pull into a rest area and there's one charging station for the entire rest area. Now, there's approximately 30,000 cars a day that drive by that rest area. And I think they're saying right now that 5 to 6% of the cars on the road are electric. If you do the math, it adds a whole new meaning to the term rest area because you're going to go in there and plug in. You'll have time for lunch, time for a nap, and probably have time to tune up your car before you're going to get a charge. Meanwhile, you're third in line, so it isn't going to work. And it does. It drives me crazy, and it is a mad world. I'm done.
So you've done the math?
I've done the math.
Are you sure?
I am sure.
Where'd you get that math, Bill?
I'm not going to say. I just it blows my mind when they keep ranting on about this electric car thing. And then I also heard the other day that the average electric car, you know, we pay around $4, $4.50 a gallon for gasoline. To charge an electric car, they said that when you work all the numbers in, you're saving about $1.50 a gallon if you have an electric one. I'm sorry, that doesn't pay either. You got to spend $50,000-$60,000.
Calibrated the imperfections. I got my slider from school.
Uh-oh.
You add it up, and it don't add up. You shed some light on it, too. And I'm just inches close to the finish. Cross it and bid you adieu. I calculated every combination, every misdirection, every subtle deception. Kickstart my thinking, I was lost in space, staring at a spot on the moon. Negotiating the anticipation of reentering the atmosphere too soon.
Yeah. You said you'd done the math, so
I know,
it made me think of
that.
A song. I was like, I've got a song about that.
I got a song about that. Yeah, so I think maybe we should. Did we get Dr. Chen back?
Oh, we did.
I'm sorry.
Look at that. We played the Dun Math song and Dr. Chen came back. That's what we needed. It's like Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I kept talking. I kept talking. And then I talked for a long time. And I would have come back. I have come back a lot earlier.
Thanks. And then you said,
you can't
hello?
Make that up.
Hello?
You're all, Kern, Bill, anyone? And then you're getting text messages from me. Did your phone die? Oh, my goodness.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's okay. We took a brief break. We talked about CO2. We played some things about craziness and madness. And, you know, we got it out of our system. So, back to you, which is how I wrecked the call last time.
So, where did I lose connection? I don't remember where I don't know where I get cut off.
I think right at the beginning. I mean,
somewhere
at the
between
very
the rest area and it's a mad world, but I couldn't tell you.
No, it seriously was right at the beginning, unfortunately.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. It's all right.
So, I was talking about there were two reasons for the persecution of Falun Gong being overlooked. One was the usual conflicts between, or the distrust of different religions, right? Throughout history, you know, different religions was at war. You know, even among the same religion, the Christian and Catholics, you know, even though they're all basing, you know, Jesus' teaching, were at war at the same time, at one time. And so the distrust was fully took advantage of the CCP agent, the CCP diplomats have been, you know, going around and telling that, you know, something that, you know, Falun Gong never say, that, you know, they say that Falun Gong is against other religion. Not at all, right? And so this is the one trick that the CCP plays. But they have to, you know, the U.S., for example, have to pay attention to some human rights violation. And so instead of focus on Falun Gong, the most severe one, pay attention to Uyghurs. It used to be the Tibetan, okay? But Tibetan later gets too big.
Oh, that's right. That's right. It was Tibet for a long time.
Right. But because Tibet has a leader in the Dalai Lama, and so that also gets a little too big, right, for them to accept. And so now come along. I'm not saying that the persecution against Uyghurs is not severe.
Right.
It is. But still, you know, it's not at the same scale as Falun Gong. And so that was one reason, and that is destruction, I call it. Right? And then the second one is economic enticement. Right? That we paid in our previous program, we paid major time to that, major portion of time to that, what I called generous barbarism. How the CCPU is, use its money to entice the world to remain silent. Right? But this is about to, I think, to be significantly weakened. As I mentioned, close to a third of the population has died as a result of pandemic. That is going to be something, huge in terms of its impact on the society, on the whole country. You have less labor available, you have less internal consumption, everything. And so we're going to see a major impact of that on the world's supply chain. And some large Wall Street, investment in a company like Morgan Stanley's still trying to, put a, bullish outlook on China's economy. I differ. I think we're going to see, a massive movement of supply chain away from China to other countries like India, like Vietnam. And so the CCP's ability to entice the world with economic gains will significantly reduce. And so now I think it's important for us to move our attention to, to the other aspect, like, Aaron just asked why there was this overlook of the persecution of Falun Gong. I think another reason is the conflict, that the usual distrust between religions. I have friends in Christians, and they told me that there was, because the CCP, there was this some distrust among Christian community. They view Falun Gong as their major threat, and I cannot fathom that.
Yeah, that seems kind of odd.
Yeah, because CCP should be their number one threat.
Mm-hmm. Right?
But, they don't. They don't look at CCP as they look Falun Gong as their major threat. And I also...
And that's just lack of smartness right there.
Yeah, and I also have tried to work with our elected officials, in the United States, and this is never spoken. If we speak about it, I'm sure they'll deny. But I do sense that the interreligious distrust is a very important element for silencing or minimizing the exposure of the persecution of Falun Gong. But we tend to forget that CCP is against all religion. Right? And the CCP's persecution of Falun Gong is different than previous persecution. Even previous persecution, right? There are major consequences. For example, there are many plagues as a result of the persecution of early Christians. And historians wrote about it. There are books about it. Right? The plagues as the result of karma that accumulated through the persecution of early Christians. And it's still hard to convince the world that the pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic, is the result of the persecution of Falun Gong. I call it long ago that this COVID-19, I call it the CCP virus. And it should be, in fact, it should be called the CCP persecution of Falun Gong virus. But I think the world's people may not see it that way. There are plenty of historical lessons, but we tend to forget about them. The earlier the plagues resulted from the persecution of early Christians. Now, people may not even believe in that. But what's worse now is that than the persecution of early Christians. That was, number one, perpetrated by one religion, the pagan religion, against another religion. Right? Number two, that was limited to in one area. Other parts of the world was not impacted. The persecution of Falun Gong, however, is assisted, at least financially, unwittingly assisted by government from the United States, from Canada, from Western European country, from all countries. And so early on, the plagues of as a result of persecution of Christians limited in one area, European countries, Europe. Right? And this CCP persecution Falun Gong virus spread through the whole world. And I think we're going to, one day or another, we're going to realize that. And it's better for us to know it now rather than later. And I think this particular writing, that Why There Is Mankind, is a message that I think the world's people better pay attention to. And sooner or later, we're going to know about it.
Well, and we haven't even talked about the, you know, artificial intelligence and all that. I mean, there are a lot of things right now that are kind of, you know, really looming as far as what will affect mankind going forward. Derail it, crush it, subvert it, lots of ways it could go. We have to take a really quick break, a real one, not a fake one where we somehow magically disconnected Dr. Chen, but we'll be back. And so just in case you were driving your car, this song will make you speed and get a ticket, just fair warning.
Song about liberal hell.
Just to be clear, they can't save anybody. But I played it because I was suddenly thinking about Congressman John Duarte, who spent years being crushed by the Army Corps of Engineers, ran for Congress, got elected this last term. And when asked about Gavin Newsom's little tour around the country going to all the red states, he's like, oh, the woke Moses tour.
The woke Moses.
So it is popularly now becoming known as the woke Moses tour. So if Gavin Newsom is coming to your town, feel free to incorporate that somehow into your media. And maybe it'll catch on even further.
Yeah.
We had two funny congressman deals today.
Yeah.
There's some funny members.
I like that better than Governor Haircut.
Is that what they're calling him?
Yeah, that was that.
No,
was
Woke Moses is much better. Yeah. Much, oh, yeah. much better. So remember, CO2, the portion of the atmosphere, 0.04. And Woke Moses, you heard it here first. Well, second, actually. But, all right, back to you, Dr. Chen.
Yeah, so I want to circle back to the, I believe.
You know, we love a good circle back.
One of the most important question that, you know, that we should pay attention to, that is what Aaron asked, what is Falun Gong? Why, you know, it's not being the persecution of it. The persecution of Falun Gong is not properly addressed. And we're still seeing that. There's lots of destruction, like CO2, like artificial intelligence, all this are, yeah, it's still distracting us from knowing that. And so let me try to, our last 15 minutes, let me try to give a very generic description of what Falun Gong may be, right? So Falun Gong really is a cultivation method, what we Chinese called cultivation, right? So what is a cultivation? Right? So from the earliest establishment, it's, you know, civilization, the Chinese civilization, Chinese people or Chinese culture embrace the concept of oneness of man and heaven. Now, man, we're here, heaven is there. How do we become one with the heaven? There's a way to achieve that, and that is called cultivation. Cultivation practice, it has the same, really, in terms of meaning, it's the same as, you know, the orthodox meaning of religion. Right? The religious practice this part of the Western part of the world is called the religion. Cultivation is in the same kind of a spirit. That is, through cultivation or through religious practice, we try to be one with the, the heaven. We try to go there. We're trying to go back to heaven. So, as I said earlier, what we call faith or belief is really the belief in the higher realm. Number one. Number two. We can go to that higher realm if we follow the teachings from higher realm. Now, lately I've been teaching in a college. And through this teaching, I realized that there are two kinds of knowledge that we human can devote our time and energy on. And one is a kind of the knowledge of from the bottom, the bottom up, and that is the kind of energy we human discover through our own effort, our research, you know, our investment, whatever, okay? Computer, artificial intelligence, all that. Those are called, I call it knowledge from bottom. But we probably forgot we probably do not recognize there is also knowledge from above. And typically the religious teaching, right? Or there are other general knowledge we don't even recognize that they come from above. For example, the Chinese medicine, the concept of meridian network, right? The existence of those energy channels in our human body, those works. The herb medicine, right? Those works. And how do we know about them? Those were not discovered through experiment. And even we want to discover now with modern technology, we will still not be able to find them. Those came from above. The many knowledges came from above. And we tend to overlook that. We don't even know there's distinction. And so more and more humans start to pay attention to our own knowledge, knowledge from the bottom, and forgot about knowledge from above. Now that knowledge from above is not for us to live a better life. Yes, it will enable to live a better life, but it's eventually its purpose is not us to not just make us a happy human being. In fact, it will try to help us to pay back our karma and to go to the happy life above, not a human world. And so there's two kinds of knowledge. And so in general, cultivation practices is a way for us to receive, you know, knowledge from above, okay, generically speaking, okay. And so cultivation and religion is about that. And the knowledge from above is what has kept humanity relatively pure, healthy, benevolent throughout history. And that was why, you know, we know that several hundred years ago, the human moral standard is much higher. Now, when we move closer to modern time, the knowledge from below start to play important, more and more important role in human lives right now, is playing a dominant role. And that moves us away from knowledge from the above. And then the evil, like the communism, right, and use political force, political power, to move, to forbidden people to look up to knowledge from above.
Right? Yeah, you can only get all your information from the government, so they can just control the narrative. But you can't stop people from that.
Right.
That's the thing. You can't. There's no way to do that. It's interesting that for people who are really smart, they haven't figured out that you can't control people's thoughts yet.
Mm-hmm. Right. So there's this conflict. There's this battle of the contamination of human being with knowledge from below, and the purification of human being from knowledge from above, and this is at essence of what we're playing out in terms of the persecution of Falun Gong. And the forces that persecutes Falun Gong is the forces that also destroy the whole human world. And somehow, our government is being used by that force, be part of that force, and that is what results in the overlook of the persecution of Falun Gong. No, the persecution of Falun Gong is just a major part of this large scheme, and there are other things that's also playing out, like the contamination of our human, the God-given human nature, with, you know, our own invention, our human invention, like transsexuals, like homo, like all those kind of deviated concept. You know, that's from not even from below. That's we're talking about knowledge from below that. We define that as if from our own discovery. So that is still at the human level. But there's also knowledge from the darkness, right? From demons. So that's even below humans. So all those are also contaminating the humanity. So there are other fights playing out. But Falun Gong is a major focal point of that, because Shen Yun, Falun Gong, all these are trying to recover for the betterment of humanity. And the leading force to suppress that is the Chinese Communist Party. And there are many governments who are also significantly influenced or even controlled by those forces, are working sometimes unwittingly, sometimes knowingly, with the CCP to suppress the righteous information. And that is the reason why we are not knowing more about this. But that is also the reason why there are worse and worse things happening to the human world, including the pandemics. And so I think it is time for us to not just look at, you know, what we have spent a lot of time on, the economic enticement from the CCP. But at the same time, we should start asking the kind of question that, you know, Aaron has asked, why all this is happening, why we're not knowing more.
It's interesting, though, too, you know, with the with the focus, even on the Uyghurs. Okay, so Tibet's kind of faded out. They kind of hide the persecution of the Falun Gong. But the other thing that really is not rising to the surface is the forced organ harvesting programs. And you would think that, you know, they talk about human rights abuses, and I would venture to guess 90% of Americans think that's people working in sweatshops, not having their organs carved out and, you know, involuntarily. For whatever reason, that is something that the American media just doesn't choose to talk about. And if this is a new idea for anyone listening, please go to the website. We have done several shows just on that topic, and it's mind-blowing. So just in case you think that's all they're doing is, you know, working people hard and not paying them real well, that's kind of the least of their problems at this point.
Yeah, we do not recognize as a country. United States has been subject to what I call a subnational invasion from the CCP for 20, 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Right?
A very simple example is that the voices or the ideas that pro-CCP are favored in this country. And those criticize China are suppressed through a unperceived mean, right? Because this is a market economy. What our country is a market economy, right? Supposed to be a fair, competitive field, right? So everybody have a fair chance to compete in the market. And what decides the outcome is your effort, your talent. Right? Well, here comes the CCP. It makes the field no longer fair. Right? Those who support CCP will be able to make money both in China and United States. Those criticize CCP can only make money in the United States. So that in itself tilts the playing field.
Uh-oh.
It's no longer a level playing field.
It's happening again, Dr. Chen. Look at this. It's like 30 seconds until the end here, so we have got to run away yet again, for real. We will chat with you again next time.
Thank you so much
for coming on. You can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us. And we'll see you next week.
We could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.